Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to the RF Sports Radio Show. I'm your host, RF. It is Tuesday, October the 12th, 2010. Tuesday show, as you guys know, is one of our big shows. We get the whole NFL week review from the weekend. It'll be our week five review for the NFL. We're going to get into a lot of NBA with the preseason going on. We're going to talk a lot about the Cowboys, of course. I got to talk about them. As you know, the Cowboys lose to the Tennessee Titans this past Sunday. So we're going to get into a lot of that talk and stuff as well. But we want to thank everyone for tuning in. Thank for everybody downloading the podcast on iTunes or Blog Talk Radio. You guys know you're more than welcome to call in if you listen to us live and give your opinion. And the number is 323-927-2906. That's 323-927-2906. You guys can reach us on Twitter at rfsportsradio.com or email us at rfsportsradio@gmail.com. So without further ado, of course, I got to introduce my co-host here. Royce, I know I got you live online. You watching the Ranger game, Royce?
Yes, I am. How you doing, Rodney?
I'm doing
good.
How you doing
tonight? If the Rangers lose, I'm packing up, thinking about it. They're going to two cities. Either I'm going to Philadelphia or New York, because the Phillies won. Of course, you know that. Philadelphia has a winning record. The Giants are winning. The Jets are winning. And the New York Yankees. So I got to go where I got to have a sports franchise I can root for. The Mavericks lost, Cowboys lost, and the Rangers lost two in a row. So I got my car packed. I'm just debating on which city to go, and it all depends on the Rangers tonight.
Well, it looks like right now you're going to be staying in Dallas. It's still 2-1 right now. It is in the fifth inning. Top of the sixth inning.
Top of six.
One
yeah.
out. Rangers are at bat at this time. They have two players on base right now, so it's looking pretty good. Vlad is on base, on second base right now, so it's looking really, really good. But you're absolutely right, though, Russ. It was a really, really sad day in Dallas-Fort Worth this weekend. We had the Mavericks. Yeah, they went out to California and lost to the Suns in a real nice outdoor game. I thought the outdoor setting was really, really cool.
Oh, yeah.
And then you had the Rangers had two chances at home to pull off a win and get their first playoff series win.
Ever.
To the ALCS and couldn't get it done. I mean, the atmosphere was electric. Everyone was excited. You could really tell something was going to happen big that Saturday.
Right.
But when they lost Saturday and Feliz gave up the lead at the very end of the game, you saw a totally different crowd on Sunday. It's like the crowd was out of it Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Didn't have a whole lot to cheer about Sunday either. But the weather was great. I mean, we had a college game at Cowboys Stadium. I mean, if you were a sports fan, Dallas was the place to be this past weekend. I mean, great, great, great sports atmosphere. So go Rangers. I hope they pull it off. But we are going to get into these Cowboys because y'all – made me change my pick last week. I was going to go against the Cowboys. I let y'all talk me into it. I should have followed my head instead of my heart. And we got to get into what's wrong with Dallas.
Yeah, we're going to talk a lot about that. As you guys know, Cowboys filed a 1-3, but they're not the only 1-3 team out there, and they're not the 0-4 team out there either. So we're going to get to a lot of NFL talk, but we got to spend a lot of talk about that. As you know, we'll have our Cowboys Roundtable coming up towards the last half of the show. So you guys make sure you stay tuned and tune in for that. If you want to get in on the Roundtable, you're more than welcome to call. If you listen to us live, that number is 323-927-2906, 323-927-2906. Before we get into a lot of the NFL talk, Royce, let's talk a little bit about college football. Whole shakeup weekend in college football. Alabama finally loses a game. So we got to definitely talk about that. We got to talk about BCS, too.
It just scored a run. It's 3-1.
Oh, it's 3-1.
Yeah, two outs.
There we go. 3-1 Rangers,
Rangers,
top of the six. Let's go Rangers.
I'm about to start unpacking my car, Rodney. What do you think? Not yet.
It's still kind of early. It's still kind of early.
Yeah, you're right.
Early.
You're right.
Now, Russ, now we talked. I had actually predicted Alabama to lose last week when they played Florida. They ended up losing to a South Carolina team, Steve Spurrier. Back to being Steve Spurrier, causing a big fuss in the SEC. So they lose to South Carolina this past weekend. And, I mean, we both pick Alabama to win. Were you surprised by South Carolina beating Alabama?
Yes, I was, Roger. With all the players on suspension, I didn't think they had a chance. I thought Alabama would go out and just roll all over them. Apparently, I was wrong. I was wrong about a lot of picks this weekend. Got to get into that, too.
Yeah, got to get into that, too. But, yeah, I was pretty surprised. I know South Carolina had a good team. I didn't think they have a good enough team to be a talented team like Alabama. But, again, I was wrong. So that's just the way things go. But I really think that I don't know what this is going to do with the BCS is my biggest question. I mean, the only team right now in the SEC that's undefeated is LSU. So we don't know how that's going to pan out. And then the report comes out today that if the BCS rankings came out today, they'd actually have Boise State number one. Now, we talked about Boise State, the teams that they've been playing. They don't play any top teams. They do have a game against Nevada. But do you think Boise State could actually play in a national championship game, a team that doesn't – it's not a BCS school?
Well, with all the hacks running them, they probably will. And if they stay undefeated, we'll see. I like to see TCU at number one. What are they, like number three right now?
Yeah, TCU is still ranked in the top five. But I, like I said, I really don't know. I don't think that no matter what Boise State does, I don't think they really have a chance of playing in the title game, mainly because of teams like Oregon, mainly because of teams like Oklahoma. If those teams went out, then I think there's no chance for Boise State to be in the title game because you're going to give that spot to a BCS school, to a big-time school.
Right,
so I think that's what's going to happen. But a lot of people are pulling for Boise State, and the computers had to say so. Right now, of course, they'll be number one. But once they get into strength of scheduling and everything else, that's when you're going to see a big, big change and a big dynamic change and all that kind of stuff. But nevertheless, I was still really surprised. So I thought it was a real interesting weekend in college football, definitely.
Yeah, all the more reason to have a championship. You see what I mean?
Yeah,
well, it's a good debate for having a championship game because, like you said, you have Boise State. I mean, do they get one if they win all the games?
The division they actually don't even have a chance to
play in the bowl.
Right, to play in the bowl game because of the division they're in. But you got teams like Nebraska, teams like – and they're undefeated too. Teams like Nebraska, teams like Oregon. We mentioned in Oklahoma. If these teams win out, I mean, they're going to get automatic bids either way it goes.
Right. That's true. You're right.
So I just don't think they really have a chance to get there. And then I do have to correct myself. Auburn is also undefeated, too. That's 6-0 right now, too.
Right.
And 3-0 conference play right now, too. So they're rolling right along, too. So we'll definitely see what happens.
Auburn needs to have a college playoff.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. But will that ever happen? I mean, do you think we'll ever see a college playoff system in my lifetime, let alone in your lifetime?
Well, it's a whole lot of money. You know, it's a whole lot of bowl games. I think it does benefit the cities that they have in. You know, you got the Arizona, you got them all the way to Cotton Bowl. I mean, you got them everywhere, California. So it does bring a lot of revenue. At this time, I don't think it will be, maybe sometime in the future. You know, and I do enjoy and watch a lot of bowl games, so we'll see. But I would like to see at least one team that can really make the claim that they are the national champion by defeating the championship team. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Because everybody can boast of being a champion, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hope it does come in sometime in the future.
Yeah,
how you work that out, I don't know.
Too.
That's a good question.
Right. It's just so much money tied up in these bowls, sponsorship, you know. And it's a huge, huge payout for the schools and for the schools and also for the advertisers and the networks, for that matter, to where this system works for them more so than it works for us, the fan. So if you ever want to know what's going on or where things are headed, the easiest thing to do is to follow the money trail.
That's right.
And if you follow the money trail, it's going to tell you exactly what who that benefits. It's going to benefit the schools, it's going to benefit the networks and the advertisers. So with that said, I think they'll keep it this way as long as they can until Congress gets involved or something else should happen. So you did mention rankings, so let's go through some of the new rankings, the way they come out right now. This is the AP Top 25. You have Ohio State moving up into number one, 6-0 record. Oregon at number two. Boise State at number three. TCU at number four. Nebraska at five. Oklahoma number six. Auburn number seven. And then you get to Alabama, which fell out with a number eight, although they did have one loss. And then you have LSU at number nine, South Carolina at 10, and South Carolina has their one loss. But a huge win against Alabama kind of pushed them up in the top 10. You have a Utah team at 5-0 at number 11, Arkansas at 4-1 at number 12, Michigan State coming off a big win against Michigan. They're ranked 13 right now. Stanford at 5-1, Iowa at 4-1, Florida State at 5-1 is number 16, Arizona 17, Wisconsin 18, Nevada 19. We mentioned them playing Boise State. Then you got number 20, Oklahoma State, which is undefeated. Missouri at number 21, Florida at number 22 with two losses. Air Force at 23, Oregon State at 24, and a West Virginia team makes their debut at number 25. So a lot of teams moving up in the top 25 rankings, a lot of teams moving out. Two teams that dropped out of rankings was last week's 13th-ranked team, but the Miami Hurricanes, they're out of the top 25. Michigan team that was ranked 18th last year, they're out of the top 25 too. So we'll see what happens. As you know, the good thing about college football, I like, Royce, is the fact that every Saturday is like a playoff game. I mean, you can really can't lose, and if you do lose, you can't lose by much. And if you win, you got to win big. So that's one thing I do like about college football.
I'll tell you what, I watched the Ohio State play this weekend. I was very, very, very impressed.
Yeah, Ohio State's got a really good team. They beat up on a team that wasn't as good as them, but this is the competition they have in front of them. But, yeah, they I thought they had a really, really good game. So I definitely understand what you're saying on that.
Oh, yeah, and the Florida and Miami, oh, man, that was a great game, too. So, yeah, we got to talk about some of these games. It was a really, like I said, I look forward to Saturday. You know, I get in front of the TV and it's college football Saturday and it's, you throw in a little NBA throughout the week and then on those Sundays you got football all day to Sunday night. You can't beat it, man. All the way through Monday, so, yeah, right.
Well, quick news, I gotta give you a little quick news. LeBron James has exited the game with an injury. As you guys know, they had a preseason game against the Moscow team tonight, and he's left the floor limping and grabbing the back of his right leg.
He was right
to the locker room. So,
no, Dwayne Wade's already hurt.
Right, Dwayne Wade had a hamstring injury in their first preseason game. Has been limited since then. Although they say that now it's more so not, he doesn't feel any pain. They still didn't want to re-injure the hamstring so early. But apparently what happened was, it said James had just drawn a shooting foul after a hard drive to the basket. He split a pair of free throws, and then he immediately run down the floor with his teammates and just under 4 minutes left in the third quarter. And that's when he pulled up and started favoring his right. Favoring is for a muscle cramp, what they're saying right now. Favoring is right leg,
guess,
so we'll see what happens.
I guess it's better to have an injury now and go and get out of the way than go through the season and have a season-ending injury or whatever, you know, this preseason. And, you know, it's plenty of time to heal up, so we'll see. I hate to hear that, though, but they can't start out the season with both of them out.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a long season in the NBA. It's a really, really long season in the NBA. So I think that, you know, it is better to have those injuries early. That way you have a chance to come back later on in the year. But what is this team going to look like? They have to start with an injured LeBron James, a tentative Dwayne Wade, and all you have is Chris Bosh down low. I mean, what's they going to do with the start that they're looking to start the season off with?
I don't think they have a bench that can come up and get wins for them without those three. So we'll see. It's a bad way to start out, but hopefully it's nothing serious. It's just another way to see.
Yeah, we'll definitely.
And the Mavericks, what's wrong with your Mavericks?
You know what? The Mavericks, man, the Mavericks, you know, it's still preseason. You know, I can't really say right now what's going on with the Mavericks, but then, too, I said the same thing about the Cowboys. I kept telling myself it's just preseason,
Right.
And they still haven't
came.
They still haven't done anything. So
I think they're still in preseason.
Right, exactly. So it's safe to say with the Mavs, we don't know what's going to happen with the Mavs at this point. But like I said, we're going to have a and this is a quick program to know for everyone to know. We are going to have a huge NBA preview show coming up here in the next week or so, actually next week. So you guys stay tuned and log on to the site, blogtalkradio.com/rfsports. And you can follow the show there. Or find us on iTunes. We're doing a huge NBA preview show next week to get ready for the NBA season to start. I'm going to have a lot of special guests on, talking a lot of NBA. So it's going to be a really, really good deal. So you guys, make sure you guys stay tuned in for that. But speaking of NBA, Royce, I don't know if you heard this or not, but apparently we talked about Allen Iverson maybe going to China to play.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
it looks like
tweet,
he's working on a deal to go to Turkey. A one-year deal to take that's going to take him to Turkey. What do you think about that?
Wow. I guess you got to go where you got to go, you know. He'll probably end up being a huge star over there. And, you know, I watched Turkey and the FIBA. They got a pretty decent team, you know.
Yeah.
Istanbul was didn't they make it to the finals?
Yeah, well,
Turkey,
the game was actually over there
the
in
finals.
Turkey. Yeah, they made
it
to the finals.
They made it to the finals. So it'd be interesting to see Allen Iverson with a turkey suit on. So
well, here's what the report is saying right here. This is based from the AP today. But it says that the Istanbul club has offered a contract to Iverson's manager for a one-year stint in Turkey. And he said the former NBA MVP will bring a new vision to the team. He says Iverson is a great trademark and will be the biggest name to ever come to Turkey. So we'll see what happens with this. This is pretty interesting to me.
They're probably calling him Prince Iverson. You know,
something like that.
Yeah, he'd be Prince Iverson, Probably give him an ass.
This is really interesting to me, Royce, because we talked about last week's show, we talked about the NBA going to a global game, about the preseason games being played overseas in different areas. We talked about Iverson even going to China and some of these other guys going overseas to play instead of going to the, to college to play so they can make some money right away. But to me, this is like, I mean, this could open up all kind of doors for all kind of players, especially those players that sit on the bench or play the NBA for a long time and
getting those regular contracts. Right, careers winding down, you know what I mean? They need a couple of more years to play. You know, I can see that. It may just lead to a lot of growth. But like I said, it's going to be a big thing for them with Allen Iverson. He's a big star. You know, he's still a star. You know, he's still one of the best in the game. And it's kind of a shame that he had to resort to that. But at the same time, it could be a blessing. Like you said, it could open up the NBA. But I would like to have seen him retire 76ers, you know. That would have been great,
Yeah, you know who I'm thinking is, I'm hoping he's really paying attention to what's going on with Iverson is a guy like Tracy McGrady. I mean, McGrady's been a great player in the NBA. We know he's got some talent. You know he's been hurt, trying to rehab. But this could be a place he could go overseas, make a new name for himself, play against some great competition, and hopefully make it back to the NBA on better standing than he is right now. Because right now he's just a guy out there on the field who's not really doing too much right now.
Right. I hear you.
I think it'd be huge for a guy like Tracy McGrady.
Oh yeah, that's true. You know, and like I said, there's another guy that's struggling. Like I say, he's a big star. But the injuries, injuries have really hurt him. And I think he still can't play. I think his heart is back in it now. And like I say, I think he feels better now than he ever have in the last couple of years. Yeah, they did an interview with him the other day. He sounded real positive about, you know, having another chance. So we'll see.
Yeah. But that's good. And then, of course, in other news, of course, the NBA isn't the only game going on in town. Big NBA NFL news. And, of course, we talked a lot last week about Randy Moss. Matter of fact, when he came on last Tuesday, that was the top story. We had a chance to break that story when we first came on about Randy Moss being traded to the Minnesota Vikings. But it seems like the Patriots wasn't through making changes and making different personnel for the wide receiver position. They actually make a trade to bring back in Deion Branch. So they get rid of one player, a Hall of Famer, send him to his old team and pull back another player back to their team. And we kind of talked about this a little bit. Now this is taken from the perspective of the Patriots. I mean, can you honestly say that Deion Branch is a replacement for Randy Moss? I mean, these guys don't even match up.
Well, let me tell you something about New England. If you look at all the guys on their team, they don't match up with anybody, you know. But they have a good way of – they just know how to pick players, buddy. And it's scary to know that they got a draft with that many picks coming up next year. Most teams right now are playing for the now. You know what I mean? I think New England's looking down the road, and I think they're going to be a dynasty for the next couple of years because they do know how to go out and draft players. I will say that. And, they got a whole new group on defense now. All the old guard is gone. They got a new guard. And they actually are making a statement. Like you said last week, last time they played, they scored any way possible. And I think they saw Randy Moss with a distraction. You know, we talked about this. I think it was a lot more going on than what they presented to trade him. You just don't up and trade Randy Moss.
Right.
Just don't happen. But to get the other branch,
you
know,
you don't trade Randy Moss because he can't catch a ball.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
You don't trade Randy Moss because he can't be an effective player on the field. It's got to be something totally different. And a report came out last week that said that they had a seven match with Brady in the locker room.
Right. I knew something behind that because he had to be a distraction for this team. But after they won that night with Randy Moss not catching a pass, proved to them that they can't exist and win without Randy Moss. But the good thing about getting Branch, he knows the system. I mean, he played with them for years. It's not like you got to teach him position. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
right.
Branch is a proven veteran, so he can catch. So I think it'd be interesting to see how they take the next time they take the field, you know, just exactly how they line up. So we'll see.
Well,
but
let's think about it a little bit. I mean, let's think about it a little bit. Let's look at the two players just on stats alone. Branch has had 29 career touchdown catches, and Randy Moss had 50 in one season with the Patriots. So he's almost doubled what Branch has done in his career one season with the Patriots. So,
Branch was MVP in the Super Bowl. Remember?
Yeah, but Branch was MVP, but so was Larry Brown. Larry Brown was MVP of the Super Bowl one year, too. So, I mean,
that
don't really mean anything to me. I mean, my thing is Branch is not a replacement for Moss. A lot of the guys that are saying, oh, Branch is going to come in, he's going to take addition to the offense, he's going to replace Moss. That's incorrect. Branch is just another receiver out there. He's never going to be a replacement for a guy like Randy Moss.
Yeah, but look at Randy Moss's number this year. They're not fantastic. They're not like 2 years ago. You know what I mean? Every year his skills have diminished some. You know, I know he's still an effective player. He threw that last night by getting the touchdown. But, you know, if the ball's thrown correctly, anybody can get the touchdown. I just didn't see the effort from Randy Moss that he used to have. He's not going to die for balls. You know, and I see him quit on a lot of plays. So, you know, that could be it. You know, he's still a great player. But I see him quit on, you know, blocking. Sometimes he doesn't block. Sometimes he doesn't finish a pattern, you know what I mean? So it was something going on. Apparently they saw it. We didn't never, we'll never get the old truth. It's coming out later. But I, like I said, I do believe he was a distraction to this team. You know, he did speak out publicly against the team, you know, which was bad, was a no-no. So, you know, like I said, you just don't trade a Brandon Moss type caliber player in the middle of the season for no reason,
right.
You know, so something
no
came
reason.
Of it.
Right.
I think the Patriots, you know, you got to look at Belichick. When Belichick plays, whoever he plays, he has a game plan. Sometimes that game plan includes Randy Moss. Sometimes it doesn't, you know. And I think he can come up with a scheme. Like I said, if I didn't win the other night, I think that proves to them that they can win without Randy Moss. So the spirit still out. We'll see.
Yeah. I just think that Randy never bought into this whole. And I think this year was totally different than last year. I think this year they were really trying to use Moss as a decoy. I think once he started speaking up in training camp and right when the season started about the deal, coming out in public about wanting to get paid, that soured him right then and there. And if you notice, the track record for the Patriots is either you be quiet and play in the system or we get rid of him. Simple
right.
as that. And I think when once Randy started speaking up and becoming more of an off-the-field distraction, because he was never a distraction on the field, he stretched the field for him, he allowed Wes Welker to get catches, he got his catches. So it wasn't a distraction on the field. I just think that once he started doing that stuff in the public, they figured, hey. And then let's keep in mind how desperate a team like the Minnesota Vikings were. I mean, it was
a desperate
team. I mean, you think about Bill Belichick, he's always thinking. So he's thinking, okay, I'm going to get rid of Randy Moss to a desperate team. I'm going to get more draft picks for next year. I'm planning to go ahead and get Deion Branch at the end of the week as well. And I get to trade him to Minnesota right in time to play my rival in my division, the New York Jets.
And he did burn it for a touchdown.
He did burn it for a touchdown. So we'll definitely get into all that. But before we get into all the NFL review talk, there's another story breaking in the NFL that broke this week, Royce. And that was about another guy that played Monday night, and that was Brett Favre. And if you guys haven't heard yet, seen it on TMZ or wherever, apparently Brett Favre had a situation with a what they call a sideline reporter. She's more so goes into the crowd, gets crowd reaction, things of that nature for the Jets. And this was 2 years ago when he was a player there, but apparently made some inappropriate text messages to her, sent some inappropriate pictures, and then yesterday comes out with these inappropriate voicemails that he left.
Yeah,
and I listened to some of the voicemails, you know, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't see nothing wrong with it. He didn't mention sex in any way. He didn't mention we doing this, anything explicit, you know. So I don't know what this thing is going on. She's actually come out and said that she feels like it wasn't a big deal. Her actual response was, this is something that allegedly happened 2 years ago. We don't want a quick resolution, but the proper resolution.
Right.
And to me, that sounds like, hey, Favre, I don't want to make this a big issue. You want to work, I want to work. Chuck me some money. Give me some money.
Yeah.
I'll be quiet, and we'll keep this thing out of the news. Because apparently she's the one been communicating with Deadspin.com about the whole story.
All right. Well, you know, if you didn't learn a lesson from Tiger Woods, to leave that text message, this voicemail alone, you know, that should have been a lesson to all athletes, but all men, period. But at the same time, you got to be careful what you do. Like, to me, nobody's perfect, and you should leave a personal life, especially when he has a wife and kid and all, everybody's got to be affected out of the news, you know what I mean? Sometimes, I don't care what Brett Favre does, you know. And seeing him and his wife. So,
I think the biggest difference between this and what Tiger did was the fact that apparently Brett Favre never really had sex with this lady or wasn't having a sexual relationship. He was trying, but never actually had sex with her. And I think the other part of it is, the comments and something he made in his text messages that have been released or voicemails were not as explicit as some of the stuff that Tiger was saying. And it wasn't like Brett Favre had an accident and trying to cover it up with this.
Right.
I was
right.
half sleep deals, so it wasn't like
right.
that's what makes it a lot different from, you know, what Tiger did and what Brett's being accused of.
Ain't no, it could have been a setup. For all we know, she could have initiated, you know, and you know what I mean. We usually go after anything in the skirt, but she could have initiated. It could be all set up. Could be extortion for money. You know, you've seen a lot of that lately in the sports where these women are extorting these guys out of money. And just think about how much the one that we don't know anything about. You know what I mean? So I don't know. It's weird. You know, like the Steve McNair affair. Remember? It ended up in suicide. We still don't know the story behind that. You know. But if it's bad enough where they take both of them take their lives, you know, something's up. She took his life however they went. But
yeah.
A lot of things shouldn't be public, you know. They need to leave it private. And if you're in a, because nobody's perfect. And if you're an athlete, you know, you can't put them up on a pedestal and think they don't do any wrong, you know. There's a lot of stuff circulating behind Michael Jordan, you know, Magic Johnson, you know, if you think about it. But he's in the news now. Somebody else will be in the news tomorrow. That's the way it works. You know, so it's
but
a big
you
know,
let me
deal
ask
now.
You this. Let me ask you this. What do you think the repercussions of something like this is? Now, keep in mind, we're dealing with Roger Goodell and his personal conduct policy. Just think about what happened to Ben Roethlisberger over the summer. Although this is not going to get to a criminal charges type of thing, but, you know, Roethlisberger was facing or accused of sexual assault of a 20-year-old woman at a Georgia college bar, although he was never charged, but he was still accused. And this in some form or fashion is part of a sexual harassment or could be viewed as assault based on the pictures that he sent to her. I mean, do you think that, what do you think of the aftermath of this investigation will prove, if they prove that everything that, you know, what we feel to believe is true?
Well, I think it'll, you know, I don't know what he might do. I know he's coming down hard on these players, you know, and he's worried about the image of the league. So, I don't know what you'd do on top of that. If nothing else comes out of it, I think it just dies down. But this is Brett Favre's last year. Everybody knows that, you know, he's out of the league after this. I just hate to see him go out with a tarnished record. And besides, Minnesota can't do no worse. You know, they're already in the hole. So, I bet, you know, how worse can it get? So, we'll see.
Yeah. I don't know what Rodgers is going to do about this. I think it just depends on what all comes out. But I do still believe that there is some type of unwritten double standard in the league when you got a guy like Ben Roethlisberger has been accused twice. This was the second time. He gets a six-game suspension on his third four. You got a guy like Pac-Man, every time he goes to the club, he gets suspended. Okay, you got Michael Vick, he gets put out of football for 2 years for dogfighting. Although you know, keep in mind, those are more of a criminal charges. So I'm not trying to say, you know, one thing is greater than the other. But I'm just saying, if you're going to penalize somebody, you got to penalize them around the board, all the way around the board. And Brett Favre has been the face of a league for a long time.
Long time.
He's got this record he's keeping, this consecutive starting game record. I hate for it to be tarnished or ended based on suspension from Roger Goodell.
Right. You're right about that. I hate for his record. And, you know, he broke a lot of records Monday night.
Yeah.
He broke two more records.
Passing yards Monday night.
Right. And 500 touchdowns, wasn't it?
And 500 touchdowns. You're right about that.
I don't think nobody gets to that point. I mean, that's a lot. You'd have to play years to get that. And I don't think these guys can do it now.
Mm-hmm.
Football, it's a lot rougher now.
And we do want to welcome everyone and let them know that you guys can now download all the shows on iTunes, a whole series of shows delivered. And you can subscribe to us online at iTunes, at RF Sports Radio. And if you listen live or want to listen to us live, we're on every Tuesday and Thursday from 9 to 11 Central Standard Time. And the call-in number, if you all listen to us live, is 323-927-2906. Our website, again, is blogtalkradio.com/RFSports, or we do have a blog spot of rfsportsradio.blogspot.com. Or, of course, you can catch us on Twitter, RF Sports Radio, or email us. They can get to us any kind of way, Royce. email us at rfsportsradio@gmail.com as well, too. But without further ado, let's get into a couple of NFL Week 5 review real quick, and we'll go through. Royce, we both had a real tough weekend picking games.
It was a lot of upsets, and you know, right now I can't see other than the one or two teams that are 4-1, a team that's really that I could predict going to the Super Bowl. I mean, you know, nobody is. This first time I can remember, nobody's undefeated.
No team's undefeated.
You know, that's all. They said this has been 10, 11 years since this happened. I think it was back in the 80s since this happened. So it's interesting to see who comes out of this thing on top, you know what I mean? I think we're not going to really see a clear front runner until we get about 10 to 11 games, you know. So the second half of the season, so we'll see. Been a real weird season so far.
Yeah, it has. And with the amount of parity in the NFL, you really can't count too much of anyone out right now.
No, because, like you said,
there are no undefeated teams. Any given Sunday right now in the NFL is truly any given Sunday. I mean, anyone that's picking games right now is having a headache. They have to be, the way this NFL season is starting to play out.
I think whoever gets on the winning streak, like win the next 5 games in a row, would really stand out alone. So who that is, I couldn't tell you.
Right, exactly.
But I think whoever gets on the winning streak, the next, you know, somebody get on the 5-game or 4-game winning streak, you know, you got to declare it in the front runner. Other than that, I couldn't tell you. So let's get into some of these picks.
Yeah, let's get into them. Now, we did pick the Jaguars and Bills game. You and Rick both took the Bills. I took the Jags, and I won that game. The Jags put up 36 points. They beat the Bills 36-26.
I mean, they whipped them. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So now the Bills are 0-5. The Jags are 3-2. Still moving, keeping that division, the AFC South division, tough as nails. But this Bills team, even the owner, Ralph Wilson, comes out today and calls it pain and patience. He said he wants the fans to know that you're going to go through a little pain, but we want you guys to be patient. And I think that fan base in Buffalo, they deserve a win. I mean, they've been behind this team thick as thin.
But I think
with Ralph Wilson being there, if he wasn't there, they wouldn't even have a team in a city Buffalo. But they're a good team. Now Gerard doesn't put up big numbers. He only throws for 178 yards, but has 3 TDs. Marvin Lewis finally came out of his shell, had 4 receptions, 54 yards, and 2 TDs. Mercedes Lewis, I'm sorry. And then Fitzpatrick still put up good offensive numbers, had 3 TDs this game. But I think the biggest story in this game had to be the fact that the Jaguars still won and had 3 turnovers.
Yeah,
the Buffalo Bills never turned over the ball. They had 306 yards of total offense, but they couldn't pull out the win. I mean, is the Jags defense coming together?
Well, you know, Jags are always a tough. Anybody plays the Jaguars, I always go, it's a tough, hard-fought game. You know, you really, they get after you. I will give them that much. But, you know, you have to really be a fan to be a Buffalo Bills fan. Looking at the history of this franchise, they lost 3 Super Bowls in a row. You know what I mean? You really have to be a diehard fan and a real good true fan to stay behind the Buffalo Bills. But, you know, I see a lot of glimpses of greatness in this team. I see they you know, they come together, they're getting good players in good positions. And I see a couple of years down the line, I see them as contenders. But Jaguars are a tough team. You know, they're not a pushover. I think they're going to surprise some people.
They were coming off a big win against the Colts, too. So I told you guys that momentum I thought was going to keep rolling. You guys picked the Bills. You thought they would come off the slide. But unfortunately, they're still 0-5. But they're not alone. There's some other 0-5 teams out there.
We'll get on them, too.
The next game, we had the Buccaneers playing the Bengals. We all lost this game.
We all picked
the Bengals. We thought for sure they'd bounce back off of the Cleveland game after they lost in Cleveland. Carson Palmer, I don't know what to say about this guy. Goes for 3 picks.
Man, he is just throwing everybody but his receiver.
I don't understand it.
Yeah.
You have Owens coming off a 200-yard performance against Cleveland, puts up 102 yards and one TD. Cedric Benson gets the ball moving, has 144 yards rushing. And Carson Palmer, this guy that we all thought was a great quarterback, is losing these games for these guys.
Yeah, he is losing these games. You're absolutely right. Yeah, I don't know. I'm surprised. But I tell you what, Tampa Bay is a sleeper team. So for all you fans out there, I think you keep an eye on Tampa Bay. I think there's a good team. The quarterback, what's his name, Freeman, has shown me some brilliance. You know, he came in late last year, last part of the season. I think they won like four or five in a row. And nobody really paid him much attention this year. And they're quietly going up the ladder, you know what I mean? I think it's a team to be reckoned with. You know, they don't make a lot of noise, but they find a way to win. You know, they're another tough ball card to beat. You know,
you're absolutely right. The Bucs right now, 3-1. Josh Freeman had 280 yards passing, and he had one TD as well, passing as well. And if you guys remember the NFC South division, it's a worst-to-first division. You know, no team has repeated NFC South champions in quite some time. It's always a worst-to-first division. You finish last in the NFC South, you have an excellent chance of finishing first the next season. So we'll see what happens with the Tampa Bay team. It's going to be interesting with them and Atlanta and New Orleans. So we're going to see what's going to happen.
Right. Tampa Bay, they won the Super Bowl on just a bunch of no-name. They sure did, and no quarterback. You know,
and a great defense.
Yeah, they defense, right. So watch out for Tampa Bay, you know. So
we'll see what happens with that one. Then, of course, another game, we did get this game correctly, and that was the Falcons. They do beat the Browns 20-10. And I was talking the updates in this game. I thought it would be a bigger blowout than it was here. Dale Long replaced in the Koalas, although the Browns still lose, only putting up 10 points. Matt Ryan, he didn't have a big offensive day. Had 187 yards, one TD. And then Seneca Wallace, he played for majority of the game, had 139 yards and one TD. Sounds to me like a big defensive game. The Cleveland Browns, the same story as always, turnovers.
Right.
They had three turnovers in this game. And then I think even bigger story coming out of this game is, Royce, that we might even see old Texas quarterback Colt McCoy start next week. And he's getting his start up against the Steelers. I can't believe they're going to start him against the Steelers.
I heard that. Well, you know, if you look at the top couple of draft picks, they didn't put in positions where they had to go out and take over these teams. You know, what used to be when a quarterback sat on the bench for a couple of years. These guys have been tested right up front. You know what I mean? So I tell you, the next class come out next year, they better be ready to come play. Because these people are trying to win and win now, you know what I mean? So whatever it takes, you know, we'll see. Just to give you a quick update, at the top of the eighth inning, the Rangers are still up 3-1, is one out. So let's go back. I got to keep the Rangers fans informed.
We got to keep the Rangers fans up, boy. You're right. We got to keep you in Dallas, too, so we got to make sure these Rangers win.
That's right.
Keep you in Dallas, that's right. Another game that we lost bad, this one, Royce. We really lost out on this one. The 0-3, the 0-4 line to go into have a home game against the Rams. We all thought the Rams were kind of coming around, coming out for two back-to-back wins, and they get beat the crap out of them by 44-6. Don't score a touchdown.
Right.
They only get two field goals in the first half, and silence the second half and get beat 44-6. I mean, the Lions, like the Patriots, score pretty much every which way can they go.
They're like Detroit. John
Hill throws for three TDs. Nate Burleson has a TD. Calvin Johnson has a TD. They run a kickback. I mean, you tell me what happened in this game. I have no idea.
I don't know, Rodney. I tell you what, it looks like Detroit got a Motown back or something. You know, they got the R&B back. But it's just like we say, you know, those two teams are really, you know, you can't put your finger on them, you know, because the Rams won the week before and they lose. And then Detroit, you know, I did say last week Detroit won't win a game until they move to another city. I think that's what I said.
Mm-hmm.
But I retract that statement. You know, I'm a bigger man than that. But It's nice to see Detroit get a win. I wouldn't get behind the bandwagon just yet, you know, because, like I said, they're prone to turnovers, you know, and they're prone to shooting themselves in the foot. But I was upset. It was one of my picks I didn't get right.
And a big story coming out of this game, as you guys don't know, is Mark Clayton goes down. He's lost for the season. So that was Sam Bradford's number one target. So I don't know who he's going to throw the ball to now. We'll have to see. But he lost him for the season, a knee injury. So we'll see what definitely happens in that game. Again, if we did pick correctly, let's get on some good news. We all lost that Lions-Rams game. It was the Colts and the Chiefs. The Colts win 19-9. And this game wasn't really easy for the Colts. We watched the game.
No, it wasn't. It was a,
I mean, they didn't score a touchdown. They didn't score a touchdown until late in the game. So,
right.
I mean, this wasn't an easy game. It was a game of field goals, defensive game. That Chiefs secondary was really, really good, I thought, against Peyton Manning. The whole defense,
right,
for that matter. But Peyton does go for 244 yards. Matt Castle threw for 156. Joseph Addai, only 50 yards rushing.
He went out
Charles,
the game hurt,
rushing. Right, he went out the game hurt, too. So, and he ended up finishing the game with no shoulder pads or nothing on, so we don't know what his status is going to be next week. But now the Colts, the Chiefs finally lose. The Colts go to 3-2. I mean, what do you think about both teams? You think the Colts are back in their winning ways? Or you think the Chiefs are going to continue to win? Or is this going to start their downhill battle? What do you think about either one of these teams?
Well, I watched some of that game, and the Chiefs just couldn't get anything going offensively. Defensively, they played a perfect game. I wouldn't count them out yet. You know, the Colts can beat anybody if you look at them on any given day. I mean, they're one team that can come out and beat it. I wouldn't give up on Kansas City. It was you know, they're not going to win them all, but I still think they got a chance. I still think they're okay. And the Colts, I still can't put my finger on this team yet. But if something misses, you know, maybe they a late start or not getting the team together, or maybe they just have a problem. I haven't quite figured that out yet.
Mm-hmm. You know, in the past, the games, I thought it was surely the defense was hurting the Colts, but the defense stood strong, only allowing 9 points, only allowing field goals for the Chiefs. So I thought the defense kind of stood up. We'll just have to see what they do the rest of the season. I think Peyton was just off track. A lot of balls he threw were either overthrown or the guys dropped the ball, and he just had one of those days, a day when you can really beat Peyton. I think Peyton, of course, to get back on track, he'll be throwing 300-yard, 400-yard games, but his defense, if they can hold like it did against the Chiefs, I think they'll be okay. As far as the Chiefs,
like you
said, I think the offense is the biggest issue. They got to start moving the ball, and they got to figure out more ways to get the ball into their playmakers' hands, mainly Jamal Charles, mainly their wide receivers, to give them a chance to really get something going. And Matt Castle's got to go downfield.
He
got to quit.
Yeah, he didn't have a real good game. He had a pretty bad game that day. You know, I've seen him play better. He didn't have a great game that day. He was really off. He wasn't Brady-like, I guarantee you,
No, not at all. Now, another game that we all picked and lost, and this was the weirdest game to me, was the Redskins and the Packers. If you guys don't know, they both went to overtime. And the Redskins ended up getting the ball back in overtime. They kick a field goal to win. When we talked about this, you told me it had to be the coach, right, for them to win all these close games, the second overtime game they've won this year.
You got to give it to Mike Shanahan, you know, and the quarterback, because if you look at Redskins the last couple of years, all they needed was a quarterback. And now that they have a quarterback, they can make stuff happen. Win a game at the end. Remember Jason Campbell? They would always be in it, and he would always be in Jason Campbell's hand, and he couldn't get it done. But McNabb is a proven winner. I got to give it to new coaching thing. I think next week you're going to see a new Haynesworth, seeing what he went through, you know, over the death of his brother, and how the team rallied behind him and gave him so much support. I could see him giving some back. I look for him to come back and with a different attitude this year. So I gotta give a lot to Mike Shanahan. He really, you know, they've been searching for a coach for a couple of years. You know, he's tried it. Snyder's tried everything. But
Steve
I think
Spurrier,
he found
James Owen.
Right, even bringing back
Joe Gibbs. You're right, he's tried everything.
I hate to see him take Shanahan. I would love to have seen him come to Dallas. But like that didn't happen. There's a five coaches that I would pick. Shanahan was one of the five that I would take any day of the week. So I think it has a lot to do with the attitude of the coach. You know, that's a reflection of the team. If you notice, the coach is a good reflection of how the team is. So hats off to Shanahan. And they got a better record than y'all.
Yeah, we're at the bottom of the
They are finding a way to win. Washington always, all they needed was a good quarterback. So I think they got it.
You know what? Now, with that said, I agree with you. I think Shanahan's making a huge, huge difference in the game. But let me ask you, on the reverse side of the coin, what about this Packers team? This team is supposed to be running away with the NFC North, and people had them as a Cinderella darling pick for the Super Bowl, and they lose another game. They're 3-2.
Yeah, I picked them, too. I don't know. It's a lot of teams struggling. I don't know what happened there, but Aaron Rodgers with these concussions are not good. You know, I don't think he's going to start next week. I don't even know who the backup quarterback is. If anybody can call in and tell me who the backup quarterback is, well, I'll buy him a free lunch at Chili's. So, nobody knows. I couldn't even name him. Yeah, so if they do have to start a no-name, I don't even know what to expect. Aaron Rodgers is the leader of this team. You know, they go as Aaron Rodgers goes. And I think when he goes bad, the whole team goes bad. You know, so.
And they had several injuries in this game. You mentioned
mentioned
Aaron Rodgers going down with a concussion. We don't know if he's going to play. The way the NFL policy is now, he probably will not play next week.
Right.
And then you have Clay Matthews gets hurt. And then you also have a wide receiver go down, too. So, and so tell them what this team's going to look like next week. You're absolutely right about that. Absolutely right about that. Let's go ahead and get to a couple other games real quick. Of course, we did. Now, this game here, we all let me clarify my statement before I said it. We all did pick this game correctly. But if you guys listened to the show last Thursday, Rick actually picked the Panthers to beat the Bears, okay? He did pick the Panthers to beat the Bears, but in a change of heart decision, gave me a call. He called us and said, hey, can I change my pick? I thought about it. Now I know for sure, Steve Smith's not going to play. And he wanted to change his pick. And me being gracious and humble, I allowed him to change his pick. I allowed him to change
his
pick.
Yeah, we talked about that. We let him change. Yeah.
We let him change.
Yeah, the game had started.
But he must have been, his eye must have been twitching or something must have been going on because he made the right decision to change his pick because the Bears dominated this game 23-6. I mean, it was Forte had 166 yards. The Panthers, the defense held. They only held them to 6 points. I mean, it was an awesome game. And you had Peppers. I told you guys, Peppers was going to come back and come for vengeance against the Panthers, and that's exactly what he did.
Well, they did. They got a dose. They got a lot of dose of Peppers. I think they were pepper spray. But the Bears. By far, you got to put them in one of the top three teams in the league right now. They're proving it, you know. And that all they needed was a quarterback too. I always had a good team that needed a quarterback. Kyle Harden didn't do him. They brought in Jay Cutler. He's a gunslinger, you know. And sometimes he can win your game, but being a gunslinger, you can live by the pass and die by the pass. So we'll see. So far, he's been great. I don't know. The Bears.
Let's talk about the Bears. I mean, the Bears are 4-1, Royce.
The Bears are 4-1.
They're top of the NFC North. We talk about the Vikings. We talk about the Packers. But these guys are top of the NFC North. They're 4-1. They beat some good teams. Man,
right.
What about this Bears team? What do you think? They didn't even have Jay Cutler in this game.
I know. I think Levy Smith got to go to the coach. Winning attitude. He's always had a team that was disciplined. You know, I will give him that. Like I say, they were lacking a quarterback. And I think Jay Cutler has found a new lease on life, you know, by him leaving Denver, going to Chicago. He's playing like a whole different player. He looks sharp. He looks better. You know what I mean? He's been in the system quite well. So I got to give some credit to Lovie Smith and a lot of credit to the players. And like I said, you got to make them in your top three picks. They've proven it, 4-1. And on the other side, Green Bay, I still think they'll make the playoffs. I still think they're a good team. Yes, I do. I still think they're a good team. As long as Aaron Rodgers stays healthy, without him, I don't think they can do it. I know they're going to be injured next week. I don't know if I can pick them next week with the injuries. But if they can overcome and win with these guys out, I think they got a chance.
And for just a quick update before we get to more scores, it's top of the ninth. Rangers still up 3-1. Looks like Cliff Lee is still in there. Going to be pitching the bottom of the ninth. It's going to be interesting. They got right now, Tampa Bay has Rafael Soriano on the mound. So we're going to see what's happening, see if the Rangers can put a little bit more cushion in this lead. We're going to see who's going to come out and pitch the bottom of the ninth. Now, hopefully it's going to be Cliff Lee. Go ahead and get his full game in. So we're going to see what happens on that.
I still wouldn't take him out now. After this game, what he's pitching, ain't nowhere in the world I'd take him out this last.
Well, it's one of those things, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. Oh, good hit. Cruz just hit a single right down the middle. Cruz is on base, so we're looking pretty good. Our Ranger fans out there, we're looking real, real good right now. But what I was going to say is you kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't, because if you leave Cliff Lee out there and gets a hit on him, that's going to be all the talk in the news tomorrow. Cliff Lee out there. If you don't leave him out there and you put in a reliever or a closer and he gets a hit, then what's going to happen? You know, then you're going to get to the point where it's like, well, you should have left him out there. So it's kind of, you're damned if you do, if you're damned if you don't. So I'm really interested to see what kind of call Washington's going to make. So we're going to see about that. A game that we did pick that I got right, you got wrong. You did pick the Broncos to beat the Ravens. The Ravens dominate this game, 31-17. Now, the Ravens are 4-1, too. And Rice had two TDs, rushed for two touchdowns, 133 yards. Flacco was Flacco, 196 yards passing. Kyle Orton, still leading the league in passing, had 314 yards this game, two TDs. Now, you telling me a guy's leading the league in passing? Kinsler just homered. There we go.
I think you got to put it away, Rodney.
Two-run homer for me and Kinsler.
Right.
There we go.
Wow.
There we go. Hats off, Rangers. There we go, Rangers.
5-1. Yeah. Still not over yet, though.
It's baseball. But you got to feel good about that.
I think I might end up staying in Texas. I got somebody to root for. Yeah.
You got to feel good about that. First time ever, Rodney.
Right. But we'll see. Hold on, Rangers.
Hold on.
Yeah, don't get too happy yet.
Now, you picked the Broncos to win. I was going to ask you a question was, how does a guy like Kyle Orton lead the league in passing yards, but yet his team is 2-3? I mean, explain that to me.
It's one of those damned if you do, damned if you don't. I can't put my finger, like that. But the Ravens, you got to look at that. They're pit bulls, Rodney. Anytime you bring a pit bull to a dog fight, 9 times out of 10, he's going to win. Am I right?
That's true.
So the Ravens are pit bulls. You can't never really count them out. They know how to win. They know how to fight. And they're going to give you a fight every time they play. And right now, I think they can beat anybody. I really do. They always had a great defense. The defense is a solid, probably the best in the NFL. So, but the Broncos let me down, just like your Cowboys let you down. You know, that happened.
they still, we talking about the Broncos, man. You ain't trying to bring
And the way the West is going, the Broncos will still be in the playoffs. Trust me.
I
can see them still making the playoffs. So, Cal, I was never sold on Cal Harden. I'm shocked at what I'm seeing. Apparently, the system that they got for him works. You know what I mean? Because he's really exceeding in the system. You know. We'll see. I still say Broncos are a good team. Yeah, right. But the Colts are pit bulls. You know, it's hard to go up against the pit bull.
Yeah,
really,
the Ravens and pit bulls, you're right.
Right.
And then, of course, another game that we all picked wrong was the Giants and the Texans game. I thought for sure the Texans would come out and win this game. You know, I thought the Giants, I mean, they had a good win, but I really wasn't giving them a lot of credit. They did beat up Jay Cutler, but I wasn't giving them a lot of credit to go into Houston and play a good Texans game.
I didn't
game.
Either, right, right.
But I thought it was a Texans pretty good team, so... I don't know what happened this game. Now, this brings up another question. We talked about the NFC East. You know, you got the Giants at 3-2. You got the Eagles 3-2. You got the Redskins. The Redskins are actually 3-2, and we at 1-3. So what does it say about the Giants team? Are they a good team? Did they beat a good team? I mean, we beat the Texans too.
That's true. But what I saw from the Giants kind of scared me when it comes to the Cowboys, because this team knows how to grind out a game. They're not mixing. They don't miss stretch the code too much. Nick has been playing his butt off. You know what I mean? And Eli Manning, when he's on, he's on. When he's bad, he's bad. I can't put my finger on it. But I think you Cowboy fans need to worry about these Giants. Yeah. Some of those players were on the team that won the Super Bowl. Yeah, I remember that. You know, and some of them wasn't. So, yeah, they do know how to win. I will give them that.
Right about that.
So you Cowboy fans
Another game that we picked wrong was the Saints and the Cardinals. The Saints get beat.
Wow.
30-20 by the Cardinals. The Cardinals had a huge defensive day. The Saints had a lot of turnovers in this game. Breeze throws for 279 yards and two TDs. They got to find something to do with this running back position. They put in Betts. Betts only goes for 44 yards. Of course, we know they're missing Reggie Bush.
Fitzgerald
has 93 yards receiving. Hall throws in the ball this time. But the Saints have 4 turnovers this game, Royce. Anytime you got 4 turnovers, it's really hard.
You're not
going to
win.
Do you agree?
Right. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, you can't win 4 turnovers. You should know
that.
You all
got
that
game incorrect. And it's announced today that the Saints have started to go ahead and going to address this running back issue. They've actually picked up Julius Jones, ex-Cowboy Julius Jones, ex-Seattle Seahawks Julius Jones, and added him to the roster and actually let Carney, the kicker that they signed that saved them last week, they released him and brought in Julius Jones. Now, I think they need a running back. I think you need Julius Jones in there. But be careful. Be careful if we're getting rid of a guy like Carney who's been proven to win a game for you guys. You got to be real careful about that. You think they're making – I know they're making the right move with running back, but what about releasing this kicker?
Well, Julius Jones is not a Reggie Bush. I guarantee you that, so –
Whatever they do.
I'm
just talking about the kicker.
Right.
His kicker saved him already once this season.
Yeah, he saved him. I mean, last year in the Super Bowl and a playoff game, and he did miss one and cost him a game this year, but he also won a game. And Rodney, it looks like everybody's pouring out of the stadium now. I'm not going to declare on winners yet, but I think the Rangers
got people are leaving Tropicana Field right now.
Leaving, right. Go Rangers.
Go Rangers, for real. Now, another game that we did pick incorrectly too, Royce, but before we jump into the Cowboy talk, is the Chargers and the Raiders. We all picked the Chargers to win this game, and we saw the updates going on with this game, and we thought Rivers was going to have a historic
right.
day. Those were 431 yards, two TDs, but again, turnovers play a huge role. They
right.
block a punt. They block another punt for a touchdown.
Right.
They get
right.
a fumble for a touchdown. They had three turnovers, and the Raiders beat the Chargers 35-27. In the game
you know,
that Jason Campbell had to play.
I know. Looked like a high school game. I mean, it was really that. I don't know what's wrong with San Diego. Phillip Rivers has been throwing it. He's like Carson Palmer. He goes, last year was a great year, and this year he's just interception prone. I mean, he just, I don't know if it's because of wide receiver position or what, but I'll tell you what. When they let LT go, they really lost the player. Because
yeah,
he has rejuvenated himself, and I think they let him go too early. But I don't know what's wrong with San Diego. I think North Turner's on the hot seat. If they don't start winning, I think if they don't turn around this year, I think he's gone. I really do. And I think they're going to start looking for a replacement for Phillip Rivers. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll definitely see what's going to happen on that. And I think another good thing about this is the Raiders actually have lost 13 straight games to the Chargers.
Right, right.
So
the
this
first
could be
time
their
first
they
beat game them.
Won out 13. Right. Huge for the Raiders. The Raiders, I told you that. And something in my mind, my heart told me to pick the Raiders again, but I went with the Chargers. I went with logic.
Yes,
I wanted
did.
To redeem myself. Yeah, I wanted to redeem myself from the week before, but man, I'll
yeah.
go with my heart from now on, I tell you that, if I'm going to pick
right.
like I picked last week.
Well, that's true. Well, you know something, and you can also get your heart broke. The way the
that's
NFL
true.
Is now, yeah, no, you don't know who to pick. But I tell
let's
you what,
talk a little bit
I
of,
hate to interrupt you,
about this. Say that again.
I hate to interrupt you, Rodney. It's one out, and it's bottom of the ninth. So two more outs, and we can celebrate. We can pop the cork on this champagne. Okay?
That's right.
All right. Go
you
ahead.
You guys going to hear it here first. We'll be the first to broadcast the Rangers. Win in the ALDS, and Cliff Lee is still throwing strikes in the ninth inning here. So we'll see about that. Now, one game we did get this one wrong, too. All of us got this wrong. We thought it was no way the San Francisco 49ers can go 0-5. We thought the Eagles without Michael Vick would not be a offensive threat on the field. But Kevin Cobb was steady out there. I mean, he kept the offense in check. They moved the ball down the field. They put up he had 253 yards passing, 21 for 31. McCoy had a great running game, 18 carries, 92 yards. Alex Smith did throw for 300 yards, had three TDs, but again, mistakes. Cost the 49ers again. They lose another game by 3 points, and the Eagles beat them 27-24. Now, let's talk about this real quick, Royce. The 49ers are 0-5, and you mentioned earlier in the broadcast about how teams take on the identity of the coach. Now, we all know Mike Singletary, the player. We know Mike Singletary, the linebacker coach. But what have we got to say about Mike Singletary, the head coach?
I have to say the Rangers have won. No.
They have won. They
I
have won.
To say they won. I mean, excuse me for interrupting you, but you and I have been Ranger fans. We watch this team up and down like a roller coaster, you know. And this is the only team that's never won before. So finally, they won one. It's a big deal. They Cinderella's of Dallas. I'm not even thinking about the Mavericks. I'm not even thinking about the Cowboys. Right now, the Rangers are number one in my book. So congratulations, Rangers. Anyway, back to what you were saying. Back to what you were saying about I tell you the truth about San Francisco. What can I say? I see brilliance of light. You know, sometimes you just have a great cloud hanging. You know, you have those days where nothing goes right. But they've had five games where nothing goes right. You know what I mean? Nothing
right.
goes your way. Everybody had days like that. What else could go wrong? And that's the 49ers. I think Singletary is a good coach. I feel sorry because the team is not reflecting the kind of guy he was. We know how he played the game. We know how he coaches the game. And, you know, I don't know if it's Alex Smith. I don't know if it's, is he the man for San Francisco? You know, like I said, this is what, third year?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, is he the man? They can't seem to win. But if you think about it, that's the only team that y'all better than right now is the 49ers. You know?
Well, you know what? Like you said, I think it's been a lot of mistakes with the 49ers. And today, Royce, I went to the barbershop today. And you know how we are. We always talk in the barbershop about sports, about everything else.
Right.
And my barber happens to be a huge, huge 49er fan.
Huge.
And so I had to ask him today. I said, well, you tell me what's the problem. And he even told me that he feels like it's Alex Smith. You know, Alex Smith is not that guy.
Right.
You know, he's just making too many mistakes. I'm saying, well, he threw for 300 yards. Yeah, we're making too many mistakes. He's making too many mistakes.
Yeah, 300 yards.
He even told me that Singletary, he felt like Singletary is so handcuffed that he can't pull Alex Smith. He can't put in the play that he needs to put in. He told me they even have a backup on the practice squad is better than Alex Smith. I mean, to me, it seems like the team takes on a reflection of the coach. The coach is stern. He's hard. We already know he got into it with Vernon Davis last year. The whole issue with that, the Michael Crabtree deal. I mean, it comes to a point where you lose your team. And you can't keep coming into the media every time after the game and keep saying, well, hey, you know, we made too many mistakes. We're barely losing this, that, and the other, which another coach is doing, and we'll get into that too. But you can't keep saying that. You can't keep saying that and keep losing games. You can't do it. I think his check is cashed. I think as soon as the season's over, maybe even before, he will not be the coach of the 49ers. I'm just sorry, I just can't do it. And I think Alex Smith, I kind of sympathize for Alex because he's had a different offensive coordinator every year.
Right, every year.
Quarterbacks coach. I mean, so this whole franchise is in disarray to me. They've got talent on their team, but they don't have a team, if that makes any sense.
Well, you know, sometimes you can't coach right now. You know what I mean? Some talent guy just got it. You know, either guy got it or you don't. You can't coach that. I don't think Alex Smith has it. He's not Steve Young. You know what I mean?
Right.
He's not none of those guys that used to be in San Francisco, the great quarterbacks they had. But, like I say, he's been there 3 years. I see signs of brilliance, you know, and I can equate him to Tony Romo. They play a good game, but they can't win. You know what I mean? Same way with Tony Romo. Did he get rid of him?
Yeah,
he didn't
win
a big game.
Right.
His numbers are off the chart. Yeah, but, you know, like some things you can't teach. You know, like Brady, you know, when the game's on the line, they find a way to make a play. They find a way to get the ball to the receiver. You know what I mean? Whether it's ducking the tackle, stepping out of the pocket, you know, extending the play. You know, Mike Vick has that too. You know, you can't teach that. That's just talent. You know, that's just raw talent.
Right.
And the will to win. So I don't know if Alex Smith has that. You know what I mean? Like I say, he's a good quarterback by the numbers. There are a lot of good quarterbacks, but there are very few great quarterbacks, you know. So I keep putting my finger on it. I hate to see Singletary. I think he was a great coach because he did turn that team around. And, you know, defensively, he should be a defensive whiz. You know, he's a leader of the Bears for years. You know what I mean? He knows football, but there's something missing. I don't like to say his hand may be tired, but I think he's gone. I think it's about 3 or 4 coaches on the hot seat this year. I really do.
Yeah.
North Turner's another one.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah,
so,
you're right about that.
Jack Del Rio. Yeah, Wade Phillips. A lot of coaches on the hot seat. That
we're
going to
see what happens
with them. Who they are. Right.
Yeah,
right.
We're
going to
see exactly what happens with these guys. Another game that came up that we actually – I didn't pick this game correctly. You did pick this game, and that was the Monday night game, which was a huge game. Minnesota Vikings with Randy Moss to go into New York and play the Jets. And this game started out real rough for the Minnesota Vikings. Favre was fumbling. You know, he couldn't hold on to the ball. Then they finally get it together toward the second half of the game, and Favre starts just being a gunslinger again, getting him in position, made some great throws to Randy Moss, to Percy Harvin. He finally saw the receivers taking advantage of having Randy Moss on the field. And then he throws a pick at the very end of the game. You know, he goes back to being Brett Favre and throws his pick at the end of the game. I think they could have really won this game, so I don't really think that – I think the Jets did hold them, did play a good defensive game, but they could have won this game.
I got to attribute a lot of that because it was a rain delay. You know, it was terrible. It rained, you know. I think it would have been a much better game had the weather been perfect, you know what I mean? We don't know how much of that was due to the weather, you know what I mean? And Brett Favre was Brett Favre. You know, it's the same way in basketball. You live by the three, you die by the three. And either you live by the arm, you die by the arm. And that's the one knock on him. He does throw interceptions, you know. He does take a risk. He does try to throw the ball in there. A couple of passes were over the guy's head. They had a lot of good chances. Personally, I think he was hurt. He kept holding his arm.
He kept holding his elbow.
Right. And we don't know how much pain he was in, you know, during that game, but it's got to be painful, you know. But I got to give my hats off to the New York Jets. To me, they are the best team in football right now. Sanchez.
You think so?
They got a good off defense to go along with their offense, and vice versa. And Rex Ryan, I don't know what these guys have bought into him. I don't know what he's told them or what he brings to that franchise, but they have bought into that. And they don't think anybody can beat. They think they can beat everybody. That's the attitude they have. They are not scared of anybody. They think on any when they go out and play that they can whoop your butt. And that's I don't even know if that's Rex Ryan. Like I said, maybe a reflection of the coach. But that's a good attitude to have. You know, Cowboys could take a note from that we can't be beat. You know, but I think the Jets are. You know, everybody's just giving them a go. So far, they have proven themselves. You know,
I want to cut you off, Russ. We do have a caller calling in. Let's check and see what our callers are saying out there. We're talking NFL. We're talking Cowboys. Let's see what our caller has to say. Caller, I'm going to identify you by the last four digits of your phone number. 4363. You're live on the RF Sports Radio
That's
show.
That's me.
What's...
Yeah. Oh, hi.
Hello,
hey,
caller.
How's it going?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you loud and clear.
Oh, hi. I was just watching that Jets game on Monday night. You guys seen that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we saw it.
That game was crazy. I'd be sitting in my chair, you know me, and I'd be sitting in my chair, right? And all of a sudden, you know, Brett Favre, you know, he had that comeback, you know, to throw and everything. I was just like, oh, my fried chicken and Kool-Aid. This is what the F is going to come back. You know me, right?
So what did you
think?
Anyway, I was like, hey, I want to hear something funny. It's like Brett Favre is wearing, like, purple.
Oh, Ryan, purple, yeah.
He's wearing purple.
So what do you think about the Jets?
Oh, they uniforms is green. They the same color as grass. I love me some grass. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. All right, we'll thank you, Colin, for calling in. We'll thank you for calling in, most definitely. And keep listening to the show. We appreciate the comment, definitely. Now, Royce, now we saw a lot about this game. We talked a lot about the Monday night game, and you brought up the point about the Jets being a really good team. I agree with you on the Jets being a great team. I think they're a real, real good team. But I also think that, you know, Minnesota Vikings are a good team, too. And I think they can turn around from 1-3. I think what we saw was a testament of what we're going to see in the future. I think they can definitely turn around to 1-3.
Yeah, and with the addition of Randy Moss, I mean, they can't ever go up. They're already at the bottom. You know, I think he's going to make them better. But they are better than the 1-3 team. And let's just hope Brett Park stays healthy. And I see them winning some games. They may be one of those teams that get on a 5-6 game winning streak. You know, really, no team is really out of it. You know, most teams are 2 or 3 games out.
Yeah.
From first place. Yeah, so, you
right.
know, nobody's dominating, yeah. So you can get, like, a winning streak, 3-game winning streak, and somebody lose, you back in it. You know,
yeah,
you're right back in it.
Yeah,
you're right back in it. So I do think the Jets are the best thing out there right now from what I've seen. They got a young quarterback. They finally took the reins off of him and let him play. And, man, I tell you, I'm impressed. I saw him become a man on TV overnight. And, you know, he even walks different. He acts different. You know, his attitude's different. He's not scared to take a chance downfield, you know what I mean? He does take
right.
a shot. But I think it has a lot to do with Rex Ryan. He has this team thinking that nobody can beat them. So,
I agree with you 100% on that.
Right.
Now, of course,
right.
we got to get to the game that we definitely got to discuss. I mean, we spent the last 10 minutes of the show talking about that one.
Right.
And that's got to be the Cowboy game. As you guys know, the Cowboys do lose this game. As I did pick them again to win, and even convinced you to pick them this time.
Yes, you did.
Cowboys
I let you talk me into that. I don't know. They were supposed to win that game, Rodney.
Right.
You know it and I know it. But like I said, knowing it and doing it are two different things. They didn't get it done. So what do you think, Lumpy Cowboy?
Man, I made a list. I made a laundry list of different things I want to definitely touch on the Cowboys. We might not have time to get to them all, but I made a laundry list of things. Number one, we've been talking all show about how teams are a reflection of their coach, okay?
Right.
So I have to definitely touch upon that because, I mean, you had the Colombo penalty, okay? Let's just talk about that since everyone's talking about
right.
that now. If you guys don't know, Jason Witten scores a touchdown, gives the ball to Mark Colombo. Mark Colombo spikes the ball, falls down. They call a penalty, which makes us kick the ball up on the 15 and turn around. This guy runs it all the way down to the 11. So that was a huge, huge play in the game, a huge penalty. And how many times do we have to go through this every week with our offensive linemen making a dumbass play? I mean, you had Alex Barron on the first game make a holding call. You get Mark Colombo doing this. And then another part of the offensive line, you had a guy like Leonard Davis, a Pro Bowler, get benched for Montre Holley after he gets beat twice on two different plays. So, I mean, you could blame the offensive line. And we've had people calling the show this past month, talking about the offensive line. And I really got a chance to see what's wrong with the offensive line this time, so I can definitely point the finger there. And then there's a couple of other stuff that went on. Mike Jenkins got picked on all game. That was
right.
the whole point
right.
to pick on Mike Jenkins
right.
the whole game.
Right.
So ain't no telling what happened with that.
You know what I saw, Rodney? The penalties. That's an undisciplined team. This is not just this game. But every game last year and every game so far this year, and if my understanding is, since 2007, Cowboys are the second worst penalized team under the Raiders. There's something wrong with that. I mean, what is Wade Phillips doing to address this team for discipline? You know,
yeah.
They had 6 penalties in the fourth quarter. I think they had 12 or 15 penalties in the whole game. That's too many.
Yeah, I agree with you.
That's too many.
Let's welcome on a few more callers on the round table real quick. I know I have a few callers in real quick before we get into the Cowboys. I've got Chosen on the line. Chosen, are you there?
Hello. What's up, everybody?
Chosen, you there?
Yes,
hey,
how you doing? Yeah.
Yeah, I
hey,
got you
how's everybody doing?
Doing fine, man. Got a lot to talk about tonight. The Rangers won.
Oh, I missed that. I am so
pleased. 5-1, man. Yes, 5-1. Leap, it's a hell of a game, man.
Let's bring in our other Cowboy caller real quick. We got to bring on Rick. Rick, you got to come on. You got to defend your record, man. And you got to talk Cowboys, man.
Hey, man. Them Cowboys, something serious out there, man. Hey, I don't know what's wrong, man.
I told you.
It's almost kind of, it's got me almost at a loss for words, man. You know, that's hard to do when you're on RF Sports, man.
Right.
Hey, it's bad business. I can't believe, I don't understand how we lost that game and we put up so many yards and we put up so many points, man. You know, it's that man, that mental stuff, man, just kills me, bro. It kills me, dog. If they could just overcome that one thing, man, we'll be all right. But it just seems so hard to overcome that, man. It's
okay, but the question I have,
bro.
The question I have for everybody is, and everybody gets a chance to come in, is how many weeks do we have to wait on them to get that mentality together? Every week they lose, we hear Wade Phillips saying, "Well, we almost there. We making good plays, just not getting all the right plays." We hear all this coming from Wade Phillips every press conference after every loss. And we've been talking all show about how the mentality and how a team is a reflection of the head coach. Okay, so, why are they making these type of appearances? Why is Colombo spiking the ball in the end zone? Why is Mike Diggins holding? Why is he holding somebody three
times?
That's
a different situation. Colombo, man. They shouldn't even call no flag on that, man.
It's the rule.
They didn't give him no flag for spiking the ball. They gave him a flag for falling on the ground.
But you know, Rick, don't
get
excited. Get excited when the game's over, when you won. You know, I've been saying this all year. Every time they do a good play, you see Roy Williams, Miles Austin, somebody do some little dance because they made a first down. And I don't like all that. I really don't. That's your job.
Yeah,
you're supposed to get.
Two changes on. You know, I can't disagree with you right there. To me, it really don't bother me when they do that. You know, just if you're going to do that, get out there and back it up. And, you know, from what I see from Austin, he's out there and he's backing it up. Roy Williams has been mighty consistent, you know, with his celebration, no matter how good he's playing or how bad he's playing. When he gets the first down, he does the same thing. And when he scores, he does the same thing. You know, so I'm not really mad about that. But the holding penalties, Mike Jenkins, come on, bro. You know what I mean? Let go of the man's jersey. Everybody can see that. Just play defense like you're supposed to. Although, all that's not your fault. Alan Ball, you are the safety. You got to help back there.
Right.
You got to
help
back there.
Okay, let me ask y'all this, and then, Chose, you can come in on this. Now, you did see the game Sunday. I mean, it seemed to me like Jeff Fisher had a whole plan to attack
Mike
Jenkins
from the
get-go.
That's right. Going after Mike Jenkins. Yeah.
Well, did y'all see the same thing?
I did.
Well, I mean, you know, picking on the weak man is always your best strategy when you're playing a team that's as talented as the Dallas Cowboys.
And
you have to exploit the weaknesses if you expect to win the game. And that's what happened. They knew that they really had no shot at really winning the game unless we beat ourselves, and I think that's what the strategy was tailored towards. You know, running that ball the way that they did, we knew it, we expected it. We had no doubt if it was going to be done. But taking to the air the way that they did, I mean, you know, having a record-breaking pass game the way, you know, the way that Romo played, but yet still, I'm almost speechless on the RF Sports Show, and that's hard to do.
right.
You know what, though? But, you know, even though Romo had the big passing day and threw for big yardage, he did throw three picks.
Let me tell you something.
You got to put some blame
Cowboys,
there, too, right?
The Cowboys
are
every week.
The last interception, you know, hey, that counts in the books, but that was just an attempt, you know, at any possible salvaging that could be made. At the end of the day,
you can't do that, though. You can't throw it to another team when you give up. You can't give up and throw it to the other team.
Right. You got to throw it away.
I'll say this. You cannot score a touchdown and bring the ball out of the end zone and hand it to another player. You know, a veteran player like we should have known better than that. And, I mean, that was like the announcer said that was on the that was on the game. He said, what if it comes down to a situation? And that's what it is. I mean, mentally, we're just not in the game. We're just not in the game.
I agree, but you have to admit, though, like they said, you know, it wasn't necessarily that. You know, a veteran shouldn't have done that. You wouldn't have done that depending on what them being called. But since you did do that, they didn't call Spike. They called when he got bumped and fell down. That was the over-celebration. You know, they called that. You know, so I'm not really mad. I'm mad at the rule. It's a rule, so you have to call it. You know,
Look at Detroit about to pass a couple of weeks ago. But let me say this about Dallas. I didn't see, this is every week with Dallas. You know, it's one thing to go out there and Tutti Rudy and just run plays and get a lot of yards and get a lot of passing yards. But at some point, you got to come and say, well, we're going to run the ball down their throat. We're going to pass the ball down their throat. I don't see a game plan. Now, Fisher is a hell of a coach. He came in there, and I told Rodney that. I said, now, his game plan is to pick on a match because, you know, pick on Jenkins. And they did that. A couple of passes, Vince Young just threw it in there. Because they knew
two in a row,
he was called for holding. They know he was weak. But I don't see the Dallas Cowboys coming in with a set game plan. And all I see is Jason Garrett is just running plays. They're getting a lot of numbers, but they're not getting any results. At some point, you got to say, well, we're going to do this is what we're going to do and execute that. I don't see that with Dallas. I just see him out there, footy, running this play, but I don't see a set game plan for any opponent every week. Every team has a weakness. That's how you, and I got to agree with the other man, that's how you win games. You play on the other team. Belichick does it. All other coaches does that.
Big you know, boys. They came out there and they ran the ball. They wasn't just, you know, off the charts with it. They wasn't just off the charts with it, but they ran the ball. And they did have a lot of passing yards. They put up 27 points. Putting up points now. They should have had more points, you know. They should have had more points. But Romo went out there and he passed the ball. He had some good plays. But Romo had some dumb plays out there, man, because two of them interceptions was definitely his fault. And even that last interception, you know, that was more the offensive lineman's fault. Get a block in, if you would, please. But, you know, Romo threw some bad passes out there, man, at times. And that hurt us, too. Without question, that hurt us. Even the touchdown that Miles Austin caught, that was really a bad pass, too. That boy just made a hell of a play.
Yeah, that was a bad pass.
He made
a hell of a catch, but that was a bad pass, man. That's why I'm not understanding. For Romo to be the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys so long, in so many situations with the Cowboys, and every time he has these games where it seems like he just I don't know what I don't know who the hell he's throwing the ball to.
He didn't even throw the ball to Dez Bryant.
So I don't understand. You know, you got all these different options. Why are you still trying to force the ball in coverage? I don't understand. You got all these options. You got all these offensive minds. You know, you got Jason Garrett. You got whoever the hell. You got all these receivers, these running backs. You trying to tell me you can't game plan one man to be open?
Right. I gave him credit for that, you know, for that pass, just because he trusted his receiver. And Miles Austin made a play on it. But that, I wouldn't have thrown that pass, and if I was the coach, I would have been yelling at that. And then it was another dumb play he had where he – if it wasn't for Dez Bryant, that probably would have been a pick six, too, because he sat right there and threw it right to the man, and Dez Bryant had to jump in front of it. You know, Romo has some awful plays out there, man.
Defensive. Well, is it the quarterback? Is that what's wrong with
Dallas? No. It's not the quarterback.
Come
it's
on,
that
man.
It's that whole mental situation again, man. Be patient. Don't make that particular throw. You know what I'm saying? I understand you trying to make a play and you trust him and Miles Austin come through with it. You know, but it was some dumb plays out there, man. It was some dumb plays. But no, it ain't no time to make no change at the quarterback. Ain't time to get rid of him. And it ain't time to start looking for another one, neither. Still riding Romo. Just tame that, man. Bring that in a little bit.
Let me ask you something. When y'all going to get off this Romo? How many times Romo got to break y'all heart before y'all get off this Romo bandwagon? Because every time y'all had a chance to win a playoff game, a championship game, Romo has been the reason why y'all lost. When y'all going to get out of this Romo bag? You know, he's a good quarterback, but he's not a great quarterback. He's not.
You ain't going to become great until you win. You ain't going to become great until
you win. Great players step up in great games. Hold on.
I have to comment on this. If that's the case, Peyton Manning is not a good quarterback, because I don't know how many years in a row this man lost the big game and he allowed Belichick and the crew to come in and interfere with what was going on. Now, Tony Dungy always had a great sports program there. I mean, you know, and the program is still in decent shape now, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, there can be only one winner. And I just think right now the Cowboys are mentally not in the game. Now, if you want to blame it on coaching, if you want to blame it on discipline, we can take our pick. But the result is somebody's not thinking out there on the field, you know.
Let me throw this stat out at everybody real quick. Let me throw this one stat at everybody. Since 1990, 21 teams have made the playoffs, starting the season 1-3. 21 teams. That's just a parody of the NFL. And we all know nobody's undefeated right now, which has ain't happened in a long time with the Colts, the Patriots, Saints. There've been some undefeated teams. Cowboys even have been undefeated within the first 5-6 games of the season. With the parity in the NFL, I mean, what needs to happen for this team not to go 1-4? They got to go to Minnesota next week, so they could be 1-4. Very easy to be 1-4.
It's definitely not over. At this point, you know, it's definitely not over. And that's just for the simple fact that, you know, the math still adds up, you know, and it's too many losses in the NFC, you know, and it's too many losses within our division. There's still plenty of time, you know, so I'm not really worried about that, you know, but they do need to get it together, come out there and play, and they got to do it this next game, because I'm telling you, if they come out and even play, I don't even care if they win, but if they come out and play like they played this last game, if they come out and play like that these next couple of games, they're not going to make it, man. They're not going to make
I'll say this. With the Cowboys, you know, with this new team, You just never know until after the Thanksgiving break, man. What I see happening for the Cowboys is if we can just win our division games from here on out, we'll be in great shape. That's all I'm focused on. You know, the division, the Washington game. The Washington game is the only game that disturbed me. That's the only game that bothered me because we were capable of beating them. Well, you know, I thought Washington was going to give us more trouble this year than Philly, because Washington, I think, has always been, you know, for the past few years, just a couple pieces away from having a good, dominant, strong
team. It's needed quarterback.
Right. And you bring in McNabb, and I mean, because they would give us hell, but we would beat them. So it's how we play Washington. And the Giants, I think, would dictate to us what type of team we're having this year. If we beat the Giants both games, watch out for us. If not,
Let's talk a little bit about the head coach real quick. And Wade Phillips comes out the day after the game and starts complaining about the penalty call, saying that the league should review the penalty. He didn't think it was right. Okay, now that's the wrong conversation to be having.
Right.
You know, now you're trying to divert attention on something else, okay?
Right.
And then your excuse is still the same. They're asking them, why is your team playing stupid football? Why are they making these penalties?
Why is the offensive line costing us games? You know, why are they making these time penalties? His answer is still the same. Well, I think we're still doing it right. We just ain't catching a break here. We ain't catching a break there. We ain't doing this. We ain't doing that. I mean, like the stat says, teams that start 1-3 can still make it into the playoffs. What needs to happen right now with Wade Phillips? The report came out last morning news this week on Monday. Says if he goes 1-5, he's gone. He's gone. So you tell me, does what needs to happen with Wade? What does Wade need to do to get this team playing the right kind of football?
The first thing Wade need to do, you know, in my mind, is he need to let me comment on something like that, you know, or let you comment on it, or let somebody else. He needs to worry about going in there and trying to fix the situation from within. You know, I think it's a stupid call, you know, but, you know, I don't think Wade should have went out there and, you know, tried to change the focus, you know, onto the penalties and a bad call. If he wanted to talk about the penalties, he should have talked about, you know, him getting in there and fixing it from within, because a lot of that is on us. A lot of that is on us for real.
Right.
Well, I want to say this. Whatever Kool-Aid, Mark Cuban, and the Jerry Jones is making, y'all sure must like it, because it's a bunch of bullshit. I'm telling y'all, the same thing they told y'all at the beginning of the season, y'all still believing it. And the results are not going along with what they said. In preseason, we're not going to wear it. The season started, they had the first couple of losses. Well, we're going to get it together. Well, I've seen glimpses of flashes in this team, but at the same time, I don't see a team. And we, you know, we talked about quarterback. Peyton Manning did have a lot of numbers, but eventually he beat the Patriots, and eventually he won the Super Bowl. Dallas Cowboys have yet to do that, and until they do, I'm not going to drink the Kool-Aid. I'm not going to – and same way with the Mavericks. We go through this every year with the Mavericks. They're going to win 50 games, but when it comes to playoffs, they get knocked out the first round. I've seen the same thing with Dallas. I mean, what is it going to take for y'all to understand that this team is just not the team to do it?
Well, I have to
whether it be the
this.
Coach, a Romo, or whatever.
I just can't get it done.
Wow.
How many years did it take for Peyton Manning to play and be considered to win it all before he finally won it? He didn't get it in those 2 or 3 years.
That's understandable, but now, still the best way to beat Peyton Manning is still to keep him off of the field. And that's the games that he's lost is because he hadn't had the ball at the end of the game. Those are the games that he lost. Peyton Manning is not going to throw you out of a game like Romo's going to throw you out of a game.
Well, I can understand that. But at the same time, what I'm saying is that before Romo stepped up in the quarterback, I mean, what we thought Bledsoe was going to get us somewhere, I mean, we didn't know where we was going to have a shot at, you know, of competing. And now we do. You know, he's beaten Peyton Manning and undefeated Peyton Manning. And I definitely think that Romo has all of the talent. There's no one there to really hold the team really accountable in the coaching staff. And again, I said it at the beginning of the season, because nobody can tell Jerry Jones what to do. We can't do nothing to the coaches. The coaches should have been gone. I'm sorry.
Right. I agree.
What else can be said?
Well, let me ask you something. Do you think any other coach would let this team get away with many penalties that they had and not do something about it or straighten it out or correct it, whatever? This has been the fifth game. They still ain't got it right. It started in preseason. They still ain't got it right.
I don't think that Tony Dungy would have allowed it. I mean, you know, I attributed a lot of Indianapolis's losses to the Edgerrin James factor, you know, fumbling critical plays.
Right.
I really think that was the undoing, and they replaced it. And here comes the championship. So, again, the coaches are not being reprimanded. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Right.
You can't get on.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing Jerry Jones should know from Mark Cuban is when your coaching staff starts dissing the organization as a whole, it's going to be hell to pay.
That's right.
Yeah.
agree.
We were cheated out of our championship with Dallas. We were cheated. I mean, I believe the commissioner of the NBA would rather have thrown that trophy on the ground than to put it in front of Houston fans that year.
Yeah, he
did not want to do that. You know, Jerry Jones needs to back up a little bit, and that's the reason. In my mind, anyway, I'm thinking that's why some of the players get away with some of the things that they do, because they probably could just pick up the phone and call Jerry. You know, the only bad thing I see about that is if you were to get rid of the coaching staff, you know, what good defense we do have when they do play good, you know, that's going to be gone. That's going to be gone. That's Wade Phillips doing that. You know, that's going to be
Jerry
gone. Why
is he kept Wade here this long? Because he...
Well, who you going to replace him with right now?
Okay, well, that brings up a good point, because I'm gonna throw this out to y'all. I posted a question on our Facebook page today, and I got some comments, too. The question on the Facebook question was, this is hypothetically speaking, but Wade Phillips gets fired today. Who would you rather see Jerry get if he had his choice between three coaches right now at this 1-3 team right now? And that was going to be John Gruden, Tony Dungy, or Bill Cowell. Yeah, those three choices. Jerry had to make those three choices as far as who's going to coach the Cowboys if he did fire Wade. One of the comments the guy wrote in and said, Gruden would be his choice, but none of them would work for Jerry. He figured that none of the coaches actually would work for Jerry. I got another comment from another listener, and their quote was, and this is a quote, it said, you think Romo is terrible now? It said, Gruden will really mess him up, and if you get Dungy, then they'll be back to a 4-3 that means so long to the key pieces that they already have. And then Cal was the right fit because he's a vocal leader and he don't take no mess.
Right.
So those are just two different opinions from other listeners. But I'm interested to see what you guys would think. Taking this 1-3 team with all this talent that they have but can't overcome mental mistakes, don't have that stern, whatever it is, that stern disciplinary action. If they do make a bonehead penalty like what Colombo did, they don't fear what Wade's going to do to them. I mean, if Wade was gone right now, Jerry had to make a decision on those three coaches, who would y'all like this? Who would you see and why?
I say Tony Dungy. At first, my first thought was Bill Cowher, but then I changed it. You know, I've watched Tony Dungy build two championship teams, and I have no doubt in my mind that if you give him this amount of talent, he couldn't do it a third time.
All right. I agree.
I couldn't disagree with that at all. I couldn't, you know. I would say, you know, I wouldn't mind having Tony Dungy. John Gruden would be my last pick of the three, you know, but I would rather see Bill Cowher, you know, and the reason why is you know, I agree that the defense is pretty much already in place. You know, all those penalties and stuff like that, that's going to be gone. We're going to cut all of that out, you know.
Right.
And they'll probably end up making an example out of somebody, you know, and it'll be somebody good, but, you know, he can kind of replace it with for a few snaps like an Anthony Spencer or something like that, somebody like that, or somebody on the line or something, you know, and try to make an example or something like that to show y'all I'm not playing with y'all. Y'all need to get out here and play, and people is going to be fearful of losing their jobs. You know, and they're going to go out there and get it done.
Right.
They're going to get it done. Right now, it ain't no action, you know, that we know of.
Right. My choice would be anybody but Wade Phillips. You can go get TCU coach and get better than what y'all got now. I think they'd play a better team. I'm serious. I can see a college coach coming in and do better than what they're doing right now. Look what Pete Carroll has done. I mean, but the Cowboy, I'm telling you, I'm old school. Let me tell you something. I was a Cowboy fan most of my life. For the last 10 years, I just don't have no belief in them because they have broke my heart. I've cussed my kids out. I threw stuff at the TV. I've yelled at my wife. Now I'm a mild-mannered guy. I watch the game. But I believe and don't believe the hype. And y'all bought into Jerry Jones hype because y'all thought the Super Bowl was going to be here. But the team, if you think about it, it wasn't a whole lot of changes with this team this year. It's some of the same people that y'all had for the last couple of years. Some of the teams I've seen, they know how to win. I don't think this team knows how to get over that hump. That, you know, they win games, but that don't mean nothing when it gets to the playoffs. It, everybody's
my, my choice between the three would be John Gruden, and I'm going to tell you why. Because I saw what Gruden did in Oakland with a team full of veterans, okay? He had all those veterans on the team, got them to gel together, put together that magical season in Oakland, although they didn't make it all the way. And then he went to Tampa Bay, his first year there on a team that Tony Dungy did put together but couldn't get over the hump, and he took them to a Super Bowl win, you know, right in his first season. So I think he'd be perfect for a team like the Cowboys. They already got the talent in place. They just can't get over that hump. Just can't get that kink worked out in the engine. I think Gruden is the guy that he's done it before. He could come in right now, tomorrow morning, and get this team right back on track to win the Super Bowl. That's just my opinion because I know I've seen Gruden do it before on Tony Dungy's team, how he had the Oakland Raiders playing when they season. They almost went undefeated that season.
Right. Right. And went to the playoffs.
You speak blasphemy. You spoke John Gruden's name and then you followed up with Tony Dungy's team. You can't do that. That was Tony Dungy's team. He didn't have a choice.
But
to stay
Tony
there.
Dungy couldn't get them over that hump. But John Gruden was able to come in there the next season and take them same players and put them over the hump to a Super Bowl.
But you mean to tell me that had Tony Dungy not stayed there one more year, they wouldn't have won?
I can't say they would have won because he wasn't there for another year.
I think they would have won it. I think they would have won it, and that's that same Tony Dungy that went to Indianapolis and got him over the hump.
Right. When you take a team and you bring something to it, that a mystique that has come to the Colts, everybody respects Peyton. Everybody loves Peyton. You couldn't pay anybody to bet against Peyton on any given Sunday. And look at how the team is still sustained. You know, I think that's a sign of a great coach. Now, what do you have to say about Tampa Bay now, you know, in the current state?
They winning now. They winning now.
What do you have to say about Tampa Bay the year after they won the Super Bowl? They start going downhill right after they did that. Now, I do think John Gruden is a fine coach, you know, but I don't think he would be right, you know, in this particular system too. And besides, he's a 4-3 cover 2 type guy anyway. You know, I don't think he would. All our defensive pieces gone, man.
So you
right?
Like team, is it a Wade Phillips team?
All we need to do
is a Wade Phillips team
safety. What about a Wade Phillips team?
Is this a Wade Phillips team or is this a leftover team from the tuna?
This is Wade Phillips team, though. Without question. This is Wade Phillips and Jerry Jones. Tuna's been gone for how many years now?
Yeah, but you got to understand, though, you know, the key players that were locked in aren't going anywhere. And
A few of them, sure. And I give him credit for that. You know, and, I mean, you could say, you know, those first couple of years, without question, is his team. You know, but there's other people that have come along now.
I don't think you could say any of this team is Wade's team because if you think about it, once Tuna left, I mean, Jared took full control of GM. He put his team together from that point on. I don't think Wade has really put in any players.
Give it to Jerry, if you will. I mean, I think Wade had something to do with it. You know,
well,
Jerry
he gave him offensive coordinator. He sure did give him that. He didn't ask for him. He gave him him. He gave him just to give Gavin what I thought he was.
Indeed.
And make more money than he does. It makes more money than he does. I don't think he can overturn Jason Garrett. I really don't. I think Jason Garrett got more power than Wade Phillips.
If Jason Garrett calls a screen at half to end the half, Wade Phillips can't get on the horn, but now we ain't running that.
They going if they call a screen, they gonna run a screen.
Right. I don't think Wade Phillips is gonna overturn him. I think he has more power than Wade Phillips. I think it's Jared Friday if he's Wade Phillips.
I can't say whether he's got, you know, more power or not, but I know he's got, you know, or I feel like anyway, he's got total control of the offense and what the offense does.
Right.
Wade Phillips may decide on whether they're gonna kick the field goal or not. But if it's a chance that, you know, it's in between and he asked the coordinator, you got something for me? You got something for me on this 4th-and-3 right here? The offense coordinator, of course he's going to say yes.
Do y'all think Wade even knows what offensive player is being called? Do you think he's even listening to that?
Oh, I'm sure he's got an idea of that. I mean, he is the coach. I mean, come on.
I don't think he has a clue.
The way he answers those questions, you know, there's no solutions, you know, as Roy's mentioned earlier, being done for the stupid mental errors and mistakes that we make on offense, you know, from celebrations to key penalties that just really contribute to horrible field position and loss of yardage. I think Wade Phillips, he can say nothing. I think he is a stool pigeon. You know, sort of like when Barry brought in Jerry Switzer. Yeah,
right,
I mean, Barry, same thing to Barry. Teams breaking curfew, staying out late. He decides he's going to get on television and say, well, you know, I'm just going to take it easy on the guys. And I mean, come on, man. Phillips is just a band-aid. And as soon as this season is over with, Jerry's going to chew him up and spit him out, and he's going to take the fall for all of the mistakes of this season.
Right.
And we're going to buy the hype again next year.
Right, I agree. Let me tell you, I got it from reliable
source.
I'm going to buy it. You're going to drink it. I got it from reliable source that Barry Switzer and Stephen Jones stayed drunk the whole season. This is from reliable source. So he didn't really coach. Like I said, this team was already Super Bowl caliber. All he did was just show up.
That brings up a good point. That team didn't need a coach to really even coach them. They had leaders on the field. You had Michael Irvin.
Right.
You had Troy Aikman. You know, you had
defensive players on the defense side of the ball.
Where is that at in this team? Who leads
Jimmy
this
Johnson
team?
Set them up right. It's the same thing Tony Dungy did in Annapolis, in my opinion. You know, Peyton Manning could coach that team now. Peyton Manning can get out there and run that offense. They don't even need no offense coordinator. You know, and I think it was the same situation when Jimmy Johnson left here. He left it set up right. All you got to do is this. Y'all got the formula. Just do this right here.
So what player leads this team?
When Jimmy Johnson was coach, when the Cowboys lost the game, there was nothing funny. Have to ask. There was nothing funny, not now time. And I'm talking about 13-3 seasons. I mean, if we had that, I mean, would we be complaining? Not at all. I mean, every game was supposed to be won in Jimmy Johnson's eyes because he knew what he wanted to do. But the requirements for doing that didn't line up with Jerry's, you know what I'm saying, with old great Jerry's agenda. So he had to go. And the same thing that your boy Dungy did, I wish he could come here for the Cowboys and do that same thing.
All right, well, before we close out the show, we got about a minute left. We want to, again, thank everybody for tuning in. Thank you for callers for calling in. As we announced early in the show,
Rangers
win. They go to the ALCS. They face the Yankees.
I'm a Ranger fan. No more Cowboys for me, babe. I'm rooting for the Rangers.
So we got the
all the way.
So we're gonna see what happens with that. But before we go, I want to thank Coach Chosen. I want to thank Rick. Even though we both had terrible records this week, man, we're gonna redeem ourselves on Thursday show. So ain't worried about that.
Well, what was the number turnout?
Man, the numbers, I had to give you that off the air, man, because you don't want your number on the air. Trust me.
Nah, I'm good.
You know what?
I'm good. If I can, I'm standing there strong with the Cowboys.
You know what, Rick and Rodney? Y'all would have won if y'all hadn't picked Dallas.
Yeah, we probably knew that.
All I got to say.
You picked
Dallas. Y'all made me pick Dallas. Y'all was forced into it. Yeah, held me down, but I tell you what, y'all won't trick me this week. I guarantee you. I won't be fooled again.
What about that Jets game, though?
I'll pick the Jets.
I picked the Vikings.
I did pick the Jets.
Right on. Right on.
The Vikings again.
Jets, best team in football right now.
But we'll catch y'all on Thursday. Y'all make sure to tune in from 9 to 11. Central Standard Time, we're going to do our picks. It'll be our world-famous pick show. Thank y'all for tuning in. Download us on iTunes. Check us out online, blogtalkradio.com/rfsports, Twitter, rfsportsradio, or email us at rfsportsradio@gmail.com. And we'll see y'all on Thursday. Go Rangers. Congratulations, Rangers. And Cowboys, get rid of Wade Phillips. Holla back.
All right, good night, y'all.